Our first reading can be found on page 77 of the Church Bibles. Exodus 20, and we're going to read verses 1 to 12. And God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Our second reading will be found on page 1088. And is from John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 25 to 30. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we stand, let's just pray that verse. Shall we bow our heads? Father, our heart's desire is that we would know your Son Jesus more. Thank you that we can be found in him, that we can be known as yours. Lord, thank you that you give us faith to possess what we could not have in our own merits, an all-surpassing gift of righteousness. Lord, I pray that that would be clear to us as we come to your word this morning, that we would know the Lord Jesus more and more and know our assurance and salvation in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please do sit. Well, I thought I'd start this morning with a question. How do you feel about your parents? In this room, I'm sure there will be a huge variety of responses to that question. Some of you will have very positive responses, feelings of love, joy, respect. Many undoubtedly will have very negative feelings, embarrassment, frustration, anger, resentment. And it seems natural for the way that we feel about our parents to affect the way that we treat them, the way we speak about them, the way we honour them. But what does it look like to honour your parents? Because how we feel about our parents isn't quite the same thing about as asking what we think it means to honour them. And again, how we honour our parents is going to be met with a huge variety of reactions. I'm very aware that for many of us, our parents will be long passed away. But there's still a way that we can honour them, as we'll see later. For some of us in this room, we will have grown up in a culture where parents are treated with the utmost respect. And yet others of us will have experienced a culture where parents, well, when they're not around, it's okay to mock them. For some, parents will have been a distant authority figure. And for others, parents may have been a best friend. Some of you may have parents who've long passed away, and the others, younger amongst us, may have had parents maybe still living with our parents under their authority. Some will be grappling with how you relate to your parents since you have moved out of the house. Maybe you've moved away recently. Others are going to be wrestling with, well, what does it mean to honour my parents now that they are requiring an increasing amount of care? Now, some of us will have parents in Hartford, others in the UK, and others overseas. Now, what does it mean to honour them in all these different circumstances that we have? Well, we're continuing our series in Exodus. And if you're visiting, or if you've not been around for a few weeks, then we've been going through Exodus since the autumn, but we've slowed right down as we've hit Exodus chapter 20, and we're going through the Ten Commandments week by week, giving them a more detailed look at what it means to follow these commandments. But one thing as we do that, what we're really trying to do is to not just think, what did they mean then, but how did Jesus keep these commandments? How did he fulfill them? And how does he transform them? What does it mean for us, this side of Jesus, this side in history of Jesus' coming? What does it mean for us to keep these commandments? And today we've got the fifth commandment in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20. Honour your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, as I mentioned as we began, in this room there's going to be a whole variety of situations, a whole range of feelings bubbling under the surface as we think about our parents. And I hope as we think about this topic, we will be given principles that we can apply to our individual situations. But the first thing I want to say is something pretty obvious. That first point there. The fifth commandment really is a commandment. Now that might seem not a very learned thing to say, is it? But I say it anyway because I suspect for many of us, honouring our parents might seem like a take it or leave it optional commandment. Like an optional extra. Well, we might honour them sometimes. But it isn't that. It really is a commandment. This is a command that God takes seriously. Keeping this command, well, it isn't a matter of preference. And disobeying this command is a sin. To dishonour our parents it's not just a sin against them, it's a sin against God who gave this command. When we do not honour our parents, we break God's law. This command was such an important command to Israel that if a person was to curse their parents or physically attack them, then in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, they would be subject to the death penalty. That's how seriously God took this commandment. So when we face the reality that this command isn't an optional extra, then I think soon we're going to realize that we're all guilty of breaking it. To honor your parents, well, that's to treat them with status and with significance. A status that kind of puts them on a different level to ourselves. The word for honor used in Exodus, it carries this idea of a weightiness, a significant respect. And this would work itself out in lots of different ways, in obedience, in listening and valuing and caring for our parents. Because they are our parents. It's that difference in relationship. And I think in our society, maybe we have slightly reversed it. We often talk about how children are a gift from God. But in God's sight, parents are to be seen as a gift to children. A gift worthy of honouring. To disobey, to belittle, to mock, to abuse, to reject our parents is to break this command. And if we're honest with ourselves, then we quickly see that we are also guilty of dishonouring our parents. If we are seeking to measure ourselves by God's standards, then we fall woefully short. But there is one person, isn't there? One person who did perfectly honour his parents. One person who kept this commandment perfectly. Even from when he was a little boy, Jesus obeyed his parents. If you can turn in your Bibles to page 1028. We didn't have this one read, but I think it's worth thinking about. 1028, it's Luke chapter 2, verse 48 to 52. And in this little passage, we get a brief and a rare glimpse of Jesus as a young boy. A 12-year-old Jesus. And he has been with his parents to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And on the way back, Mary and Joseph realize that Jesus isn't with them. And he's not with their wider family and friends. It turns out that he's been staying in the temple courts, sitting and listening and speaking with the Jewish leaders, asking questions and showing this amazing understanding. But have a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." They think that he has done them a disservice because they've been so worried about where he is. But that's not quite the full picture. And we read on. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Did you notice that the reason that Jesus hadn't gone with them was because he was in his heavenly Father's house? And this gives us a glimpse, which we'll consider a bit later before we finish, a glimpse of a principle that we shouldn't honour our parents at the expense of honouring God. Should I say that again? We shouldn't honour our parents at the expense of honouring God. Jesus' primary commitment, even as a 12-year-old boy, well, his allegiance was first to God and then to his parents. He hadn't been dishonouring them, but they don't understand that he's been honouring God instead. But then notice what happens afterwards in verse 51. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. When I was 12, I was just a bit of a brat. You know, I certainly didn't honor my parents, and I wasn't keen to obey them, nor was I keen to obey God. But Jesus was, and he did. He perfectly kept this law all his life. And that is really important for us here now today to realize. This is where we find our assurance of salvation. We know that we have failed to keep God's law. Based on our own performance, we cannot stand before God. But the person who trusts Jesus is not judged based on whether they have kept this law. They are judged on the performance of the one who kept the law perfectly. Jesus kept the law perfectly for us. If you flick forward a little bit to John's Gospel, to the passage we had read earlier, it's on page 1088. John chapter 19, verse 25. It's that passage we had read earlier, and I find this passage just astounding. Jesus has been crucified. He is hanging on the cross, being punished for the sin that he did not commit. And such is his love for us that he is taking the punishment we deserve. But look who's there. Have a look in verse 25 of chapter 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Even as he's dying on the cross, being punished for our sin so that we can be forgiven, even at that moment, he is still keeping this law perfectly. He's amazing. As John records this account, these are some of Jesus' last words before he dies. And what does he do with those words? He uses them to honor his mother. He provides a safe and secure future for his mother by asking one of his closest followers to look after her. We fail to keep God's law time and time again, but Jesus kept it perfectly for us. And this has to be our starting point before we go on to figure out what it means for us to honor our parents. First, we must repent. We have disobeyed the commands of God. And we must also believe. We trust in the one who did perfectly obey those commands. And then, and only then, out of our love for Christ and what he has done for us, then we keep his commands. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." For the Christian, the one trusting in Christ, the desire to obey these commandments springs from the motivation of love for Christ. So out of love for Christ, and a desire to keep his commands, let's flesh this one out a little more practically. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Well, honor. We've already mentioned the idea of the weightiness, the importance and respect that this word carries. The very fact that God has designed families to work so that although there is this total equality in value before God, parents and children are equally made in his image. There's also a distinction in authority, in relationship. There's to be this right respect because of that difference in relationship. That's honor. That's what it means to honor. But then notice this, honor your father and your mother. I mean, it's obvious, but I think it could pass us by, couldn't it? This isn't saying fathers and mothers are identical, but God is commanding us to honor both father and mother. I can think of a family I know, not from this church, but family I know where both parents are fantastically committed to their children. They're committed to bringing them up in the Lord. And they both love their children dearly. But they have three teenage boys. And clearly, they love their mother. But I'm not sure that they honored her. They certainly honored their father, but I think perhaps they took their mother for granted in the way she cared for them and provided for them. Let's not forget that this command is stressing honor for both parents. So that you may live long in the land. This promise is picked up in the letter to the Ephesians by the Apostle Paul. He picks up on this and he writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." This isn't a hard and fast guarantee of long life. But we can say that God has ordained this structure of a parent-child relationship, which means that when they are submitted to this structure, both parties flourish. For us who are children seeking to honor our parents, we must not be too proud to heed the rich blessings of the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of how life works that parents can give their children. We must not be too proud to dismiss their experience and wisdom. But it works both ways, because their parents also have a duty to bring their children up in the knowledge of the Lord. Their parents have a duty to parent in a way that would make the children love to honor them. I confess that if, as I look back even over the last few months, time and time, I have a tendency to think that I know better than my parents. And probably 99% of the time I don't. It's good for children to listen to the counsel and obey the instruction and hear the wisdom that parents have. And as a general principle, when we honor our father and mother, things go better for us. Let's not be too proud to see that. Now, the way that we relate to our parents is going to change over time, isn't it? But there will always be ways in which we can honor them. For those with elderly parents, they won't necessarily be the source of instruction for you, but honoring them will mean caring for them. Even with an NHS and a care system that this country has, caring for parents is still essential. It may mean having them move in with you, which can cause all kinds of turmoil and change to routines. But take delight from the fact that honoring them in this way, you are loving them and loving God by obeying this command. It may be that a care home is the only realistic option because of the circumstances. But even then, the phone calls, the visits that you make, the time that you spend, all this can be done in a way that honors your parents, or it can be done in a way that dishonors them. And for all of us, not just the way that we talk to our parents, but also the way we talk about our parents can be done in a way that honours or dishonours them. You know the patronising or disrespectful tone, or the mocking words behind their back? Even for those of us whose parents have passed away, the way we talk about them now can still be a way of honouring our parents. It will change depending on the situations. But there are two difficulties as we finish that I'd like to address. I mentioned just this week to some friends that had come to visit that I'd be doing a sermon on this command. And my friend, her first question was, yeah, but what if they don't deserve honour? And for many of us, this will be the case. The absent parent, the abusive parent, the one who gave no instruction or discipline, but left the child to their own devices. How can we honour parents who have let us down and abused their position over us? Well, the answer is not to dismiss this command. It still stands. But at the same time, we're not to be blind to their faults or to deny what they've done. It would not be a wise thing to follow the example of discipline that an angry and abusive parent had set. But we should still try to honour that undeserving parent. Perhaps it's simply the manner with which we would talk to them. Perhaps we'll need to be more restrained in the way that we talk about them. It may mean we push for the first move of reconciliation with them. It may mean that when they are elderly and in need of care, as we practice forgiveness, we are still the ones to care for them or visit them. And undoubtedly, it should mean that even those parents that do not feel that they are deserving of honour, it should mean that we pray for them. But there's a second difficulty, I think. What about when they put pressure on you to stop living for Jesus? It may be that your parents think you have wasted your time with the decisions you've made because you're a Christian. It may mean that they think you're wasting your money by giving a chunk of it to the church, so they discourage you. It may be that within your family's culture, to be a Christian is just embarrassing or shameful, or in some cases, to be a Christian will trigger your family to disown you. But as Christians, our first allegiance must be to Jesus. We have a new identity in Christ, a new Saviour, a new God, a new King. And Jesus knew that following him was going to divide families. He said in Mark 10, verse 37, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So he's taking that command and saying, still, you must honour me first. You must worship me first. Honour your parents wherever you can. But if doing what they want will mean dishonouring Jesus or turning away from him, or leaving the gathering of his people, then don't do it. Even if it means you will anger your parents, or you will lose their esteem, or your family will completely cut you off. It is better to have Christ and nothing than it is to lose everything, to have everything but to lose Christ. It is better to have Christ and nothing else than to have everything but lose Christ. So let us follow the one who honoured his parents flawlessly. Jesus, who kept the law perfectly and kept it for us, to die in our place and to bring us forgiveness. Trusting in his righteousness and his mercy towards us, and motivated by the love that we have for him, let us seek to honour our father and mother in all the messiness of life that is ahead of us. Shall we pray as we consider that? Our loving Father, we praise you for Jesus. Thank you that he honoured you with his whole life. And thank you that he honoured his earthly parents with his whole life and kept that command. Please, Lord, would you help us to trust him for our forgiveness, and out of love for him, out of love for your commands, to seek to honour our parents. Please would you give us wisdom in the difficult decisions that that will mean. Please, Lord, would you give us compassionate hearts when it may be hard to honour our parents. Please, Lord, would you give us wise minds when it may mean making difficult decisions for our parents. And please, Lord, would you help us to honour you in the way that we treat our children as well. Lord, would you help those of us who are parents to be parents who teach their children in your ways, so that our children may delight to honour us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.